This is a production of Cornell University.
Go ahead and get started. The food is going to be a little bit delayed. So when the food comes, we'll take a break and then get back in. I don't know if we'll necessarily need to take the full length of the meeting, but I did think it was a good opportunity for us to all get together at our scheduled meeting, and we can have some open discussion, too, during new business. I do want to add elections to the agenda because I'd like to have a conversation. If we can come to a conclusion about elections, great. If not, we can also hold off till the next meeting and use that as the goal to solidify elections by, if that works for everybody. So I can put elections down in new business, and so we'll just need to approve the minutes from December 17th. If anybody has any modifications or changes. The call for late additions to the agenda.
A request. I actually have elections, and then also the TCAT 82 bus schedule.
Oh, great. TCAT 82 bus. All right. Any objections to adding the 82 bus? Nope. Okay. Thank you for catching my missing the agenda order. Approval of the minutes. There is a motion to approve. There's a second. Any dissent? All right. Seeing none, those pass unanimously. We don't have any real business of the day. So report from the chair. One, just wanted to say welcome back. Happy New Year. We're halfway there through our term, so excited to see what the spring holds. We've got some interesting speakers hopefully lined up, just so everybody has a little bit of an update. We've got Mary Opperman coming in February. We have the folks who are in charge of the Provost Search Committee will be joining us most likely the first meeting in February. They reached out to us to get our feedback for the new provost search and sort of feedback information sharing opportunity. We have Leslie Meyerhoff Sadler, she's still hyphenated, right? And a few of her colleagues about some slope day concerns that they've had in the past. And I'll let them give more information because I don't know if I could necessarily explain it and do it its full justice. So we'll have a discussion with them at our next meeting. And, you know, anything that anybody's working on or would like to bring up, you know, please send it to BJ and I or anybody else. Like to get a few things wrapped up that we have out there. The survey sort of solidification, you know, in the next couple of months, you know, I'm happy to help wherever we need to do with that. I'd like to finalize, Curtis and I are going to finalize the Green Office resolution so that we all can make that commitment and try to do that either in the spring or over the summer in our own offices. You know, looking at, you know, as BJ returns from his time being away, looking further at the structure and the representation, we'll pick up on those conversations as well. So I just wanted to give everybody a little update. I'm going to turn it over to Linda, who's sitting right here next to me. And she's going to talk about some staff departures, some folks we've interacted with have decided to move on and move elsewhere. So Linda's just going to give a little update on that.
Yes. So unfortunately for us, but fortunately for two individuals that have really been big supporters and involved with some of the things we've been doing at EA, both in the last month have announced their resignation. And I don't know if any of you have heard of these yet, but Chris Halliday is leaving the university. His last day is actually this Friday, and he's going to be the Chief Human Resources Officer for Lehigh University, so it's actually a really fantastic career opportunity for him. And for those who know Pat Johnson, that's who he's going to be working for. She left Cornell about a year ago. So he's really been involved with a lot of the things like this, the staff survey results and the teams and everything. And I just thought it might be really, really nice for us to kind of send him a thank you and best well wishes before he leaves on Friday. I know it's really short notice. The second person, who I haven't spoken with directly, but he had shared with someone to share with me, that he'll be leaving at the beginning of February is Dan Roth in the sustainability office. And if you remember, he's come and spoken with us a few times and really was helpful for us to understand the resolution around divestment and moving up the carbon neutrality plan. So once again, I thought it would just be nice for us to reach out, you know, thank him for being a supporter of the EA and wishing him well. And I don't know the full extent of what he's doing, but he, I think, is leaving to travel for about a year with his wife, and that they're thinking about possibly starting a business together. So that's what my understanding of what he's planning to do. So both of them are leaving for very good reasons for them, but it is a big loss to the university. And I thought, with them having worked closely with us in the past, it wouldn't be nice for us just to send a note saying that we hear they're leaving and, you know, we wish them the best.
Linda, I can send an email on behalf and copy all the EA members if that is sufficient, or we can, you know, try to put something, you know, more formal together if we wanted. But I think, you know, maybe an email on behalf of the employee assembly and, you know, copy maybe their supervisors just to let them know that their impact and involvement with the EA was appreciated and, you know, will definitely be missed.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be fine.
Okay.
If everybody else is okay with that. It's just, you know, that opportunity to reach out to people that I think have been big supporters, I think, is a nice thing to do.
Do you have, because I think some of you have maybe some more highlights of Chris Halliday's sort of involvement. If somebody could just, Linda, you know, Linda, and I don't know if you can do this, just sort of recap maybe a few of the big, you know, three or four things, initiatives that he's really had an impact on that the EA has appreciated, so that I could, you know, make maybe the message slightly more robust and tailored to sort of his specific achievements.
Yeah, the one thing, is Tanya there?
Yeah.
So, Tanya, I know you worked really closely with him on the staff survey teams, and so okay. I thought, I hate to ask you because I know you're very busy, but I think that's probably the biggest, most impactful recent thing that I would want to highlight, but I wasn't as involved with the teams. Do you think, Tanya, you might be able to just write one
actually,
or two sentences?
I'm actually looking right now to see which ones he cared about and were involved in. I'll send those over.
Okay. And then so I'll send those out either this afternoon or first thing tomorrow morning, and I'll copy the EA listserv on that and just do that on behalf of the employee assembly.
And Chris reports directly to Mary.
To Mary,
DC Mary on him.
And Dan is Bert... Bland.
Yeah, Bert Bland. Yeah.
Bland.
And in Q, you know, I don't know if you would want to include Q Long as well.
Yeah, I could send it to Q.
Bert and Q might be a nice
piece
of it. You know, and it also kind of sets the ground for whoever ends up, however they end up restructuring, to hopefully have them work with connecting whoever their replacements are back with the EA, because I think both areas are important.
Yeah, I think it's a great, idea. And appreciate you bringing that up. It's probably a big loss for Cornell with those two, but it's a great opportunity for them, so we have to celebrate that as well.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, good. So I'll do that, and then everybody will get a copy of that in their inbox.
We can create, if you don't already have it, a letterhead.
An email letterhead?
You can do a PDF of the letter.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm just making notes here. All right, moving on. Old business, just wanted to get some committee updates. Those of you that chair are on committees around campus, different things that have been going on, so we can sort of go around the room. You know, if you're on a committee, if you chair a committee, just sort of a quick update of what's been happening in your world. So we can start wherever. We have communications as a so we can start over there, or we can start over here.
I can start. So the staff recognition and awards committee, I'm working on scheduling a meeting for end of next week for that group. We've got 30 George Peter Award nominations that I know that he's gotten a couple more. I don't know. So we'll have some around 4 or 5
Okay. Great. Bill?
I'm on the communications committee, and we
do. Who's on? Are you policy advisory? Or was there another one that you're on at the university level? A liaison?
I am not as a representative up here, but I'm on the
okay.
President's Council of Sexual Violence and Banking.
Gotcha, but not from here. Okay.
I'm in communications. Maybe we should let Eric, because I'm in the thing.
So. Okay. Eric, we're going to jump to you now for communication.
No, we have not formally met recently. We were forming to figure out the election
cycle. Good. Yeah, which the one is going to go out probably at the end of the week, beginning of next, right?
Whenever.
Yeah, you're waiting on a note from us, but it looks really great. The content was, what we were, shooting for. So I think it was a really great job on everybody who put effort into that. I know you put a lot of work into that, so thank you for doing that. I think the last piece, too, is just connecting with Gary Stewart and trying to solidify those community involvement opportunities to plug in there. And as soon as we have that, I think we'll be good to go.
I've reached out twice.
Okay.
And just on the committee, I was thinking about this just because we've been having some exchanges, that maybe having setting the deadline for the newsletter and then to expire convene a meeting of the committee. It's really, because there's a lot, I think, that the committee can bring, which is keep having some concrete changes, but also that's an opportunity to convene the meeting around the newsletter, but whatever else is going on. That might be an idea, too, for more of a regular communications committee. And that helps me if there's deadlines in advance. So it's hard for me to respond to. Okay, here it is. any more we can do to sort of coordinate that would be amazing.
All right.
Awesome.
So do we have a date for the committee meeting so we could do, because that's the elections is the big one for the communications.
Yeah, so that'll probably shape, the election calendar will shape
the
spring semester communications committees.
Yes.
So we'll, I trust that by the time we have that figured out, you'll also have the schedule of communications plan figured out like we've had, pretty consistently. Yeah, it'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Other committees?
Campus Infrastructure Committee hasn't really met recently, but we know that the big topics that we're working on right now are divestment again, the housing development, the TCAT semi-crisis, and carbon neutrality and our work towards that. There's two other things, and I can't remember what they are. One of them was like editing our charter to be more in line with other things, and something else that apparently I wasn't too invested in. But there's one more thing. We have six big items that we're working on this year.
Great. Linda, and the GPSA?
Different committee that is the
SAS. Okay.
The Career Development Growth Committee met once last year.
That was the one with Phil, with Halliday. That actually now leaving will be interesting to see how that progresses. Yeah.
Who chairs that committee?
That was Chris. Chris?
Is it?
I think it is Chris.
Career Development.
Yeah.
Well, it's a committee of the assembly,
though.
No.
No.
No. Education?
The education committee has met twice in the fall. I also included you on correspondence. We have a meeting set up for February with Audrey Lang or Angel to go over just a few points that had come up from the past survey that they performed about getting the word out about education. And of course, Marie just emailed me, saying what their attempts were, which is fine. And they do try to cover it. It's just taking it down to a local level.
because I still come across from people that don't realize that they have educational benefits for their children and stuff, and they've been there for many years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm wondering if we can't bring it up to become a part of their of their review or something, or when they have a 5-year tenure and stuff,
just
as reminders. And then the other thing was the committee is very interested in having a central fork of information at the education benefit. And they were updating that website, so maybe it's a perfect time. But we'll cover that next year.
Great. And you have a date set for February?
It was the week before or the week after the presidency.
Gotcha. Okay.
People were emailing me back with
great, good work there. You know, if anybody's on a committee that's not an EA committee, or if it is an EA committee and you haven't had as much activity or you haven't had, you know, sort of regular communication, I would encourage you all to just reach out to the chairs of those committees or the listserv and say, you know, just hoping to, you know, start things back up. When are we going to get together?
Is that someplace available or not? Because the last time I checked on the EA website, there's nothing under committees or participants for sports meetings. It was updated.
I thought there was an
EA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has a list. I know there wasn't for a period, but it
was. Like, when was that updated? It could be in automatically.
Yeah.
Based on
Are you, do you chair committee now?
No,
not
one.
Okay.
But you don't know who's chairing the committee that you're on.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't know who's chairing the other committee.
Which is that?
Personnel policy.
That's me. I was waiting for my turn. It's Linda.
Oh. Okay, sorry, Linda. I overlooked you for a moment. Go ahead, Linda.
I heard you say Linda, and then I realized it's the other Linda earlier. So we did get the one request from Alexis Brubaker to review the maternity leave policy, and there's three members on that committee, which is Nancy Bell, I'm not sure if you're there, Nancy, myself and Alexis, and we've met once. We tried to meet in December, but we weren't able to find a scheduled time, but we're all right now working on collecting. We broke up different information that we wanted to pull together, so we're each working on collecting that. And then we're going to come together and try to formulate recommendation. So that has been moving. And, you know, I know, in fact, over the winter break, I saw that Nancy was adding things to our box file. So I know she's been working on it. I don't know if she's there and she might want to add anything. And then the other thing is I am on the UA Campus Welfare Committee. And we didn't meet in December, or we did meet, but I wasn't able to make it. And we're focusing on a few different things for this semester, one being the new structure of Gannett and the healthcare and how they're redesigning kind of their perspective on healthcare for the university. So that's more student-focused, but I think they think of campus welfare across all different between groups. And we're also going to be getting someone to come in and talk about Toward New Destinations and the diversity efforts, which is something I know, as for our last meeting at EA, that we were interested in maybe looking into doing a little bit more with Toward New Destinations with EA. So that's the update on those two.
Great.
I looked up the committees on my phone on the Employee Assembly website, so they are listed.
They are listed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Pilar, if I could ask,
yeah.
If we could email each one of the sort of the committee listservs with just the committee list.
with the link?
Yeah, with like the link to the list. So just let everybody know, welcome back, time to, you know, schedule, you know, time to meet,
New Year.
Here's everybody who's on the committee for the new year, you know, contact information, here's the link there.
A little nudge,
encourage the chairs, you know, every committee that we have under the EA,
mm-hmm.
But then if you're also on another committee outside of the EA, representing the EA, mm-hmm. I think it's good for us to sort of take the first nudge at, you know, prompting a get-together of, you know, whatever the other committee is, because it is difficult to line up schedules and get meetings together, but I think we really should have the presence of, hey, listen, we're ready and willing to get down to work. We're just waiting on everybody else now, because we can do as much as we can in sort of that realm. Go ahead.
So I wanted to say what I was showing Pilar was that when I looked up the Personnel Policy Committee, because I thought that I was on there, and if you look up current members, the only two names that come up are yours and mine as members. So if Linda's on there, it's not on here. So maybe perhaps
the Personnel Policy?
Yes. So that's why I wanted to. Maybe it's a.
I didn't know I was ever on that committee.
I don't know if you're on that committee by default.
I think I'm ex officio on them.
There's current members, there's nothing. There's voting members.
And
there's
it
says
2014.
Right.
It says, like, on staff recognitions and awards, you're listed as a regular
member. Because I think that one I did want to be a regular member on.
Yeah, I was on that committee last year. I was on
staff Amy, could I ask that we take a look at that and make sure it's up to date? All right. So Amy and Pilar have confirmed that, and then get everybody a note out about their committee assignments, just a friendly reminder to everybody. A couple of the committees that I'm on, just a quick update. The UA had a good fall semester. I think in the spring semester we can look forward to a lot of different things. You know, it's a lot of updates and information sharing. It's a lot of sort of checks and balances. Gina, I don't know if you maybe know some of the big three or four items coming down for the UA.
Well, I think you mentioned that some of the big issues, the topical issues that likely will result in will have resolutions to the UA are investment again, likely around free speech. The CJC has met and has put forth its resolution on clarifying the campus code, which likely will create conversation that might be heightened. And then whatever else the students, you know, there's usually a lot of issues surrounding some of the global events that are going on right now. We still have a lot of reaction and response to things that are happening around the world that likely will have some energy around them, so we'll be watching for that. But the two that I do know are the free speech and the balance.
And so free speech is something that the CJC has sort of struggled with how to respond to its charge from the UA, and then sort of did respond with, it wasn't no response, but it was sort of a...
it was responded in a way that was contrary to, I think, what the expectation was.
So that'll create some interesting dialogue at the UA level around the free expression, free speech, protesting. Also, the Transportation Advisory Task Force. I'm interested to have the TCAT discussion, so I can bring that back to that group. Some of you have also sent me some feedback about transportation issues, which I'll bring up the next time we convene. But that's a whole list of TCAT problem. And the other transportation type discussions. It's really an advisory committee for the Director of Transportation and for Q as they sort of move to set and influence policy. And then the Retirement Plan Oversight Committee, which the chair is default a member of. I can tell you they're working very hard to make sure that your interests are represented to the best of their ability, and that the advisory group that they consult with is really doing the best job possible that they can. That's sort of what I can share, but they are out there working hard and making sure that we have the offerings that we should be having. We have the information, talking about communications plans. They're very sensitive to change and how change is communicated. It's not always communicated, I think, the best way possible, but they're really trying and working hard towards that. So there are people out there who meet on a very regular basis to really make sure that your best interests are top of mind when it comes to the retirement plan and that benefit. So just figured I'd give that update as well.
Are you also on the search committee for the president?
No.
Who from the EA is going to be appointed?
I don't think we have one. Did we?
Yeah, I think it's you.
Is it?
I'm fairly certain.
Surprise. Surprise! Oh, we haven't met yet? If someone would else like to be, would like to be on the provost search committee.
No, this was a request from the search committee, who is being chaired by our president-elect.
It is?
I thought that was you. You said
I thought it was the dean of Allen.
Oh, it is Allen, right?
From human ecology.
Matthews,
yeah.
Right.
I think he's chairing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we circle back on that? That'd be great.
I need to know.
Surprise! One more committee. Yay! All right, awesome. That'll be great. Whatever we need to make work will work. All right, any other committee updates? Committee updates? No? Okay. We'll move on to, well, we sort of touched on the newsletter. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, or if we're good, just
add to what already
submitted. No, just the update, just an update on where we're at. If there's anything you wanted to hit on, just wanted to provide a regular opportunity for us to talk about what's being communicated.
Basically, I just took what we were doing, the people we had in. We had the Green Initiative Committee people in there. We had the Albers in there, the retirement, and the Sphere. And Nancy put together a from the Paul Brand, so we'll put it on the president's address. I didn't end up with the president there. She was able to provide that.
Good.
Keep it short and highlight what we've done. And there's links on there to all the different websites you can go to get more information.
Yeah, it's really a dynamic you know, with all the links, I think that's great, and I think it's a way for people to get more interaction with us. So nice job to you and the communications committee and the office for, you know, helping put that together. So
it's always when I do updates, they're put in the box, so anybody can look at any time and see what's in there. Make spelling checks, because I need those.
We all do most days, so.
The reason I'm asking is I don't know how many people are seeing that you can opt in now to have your W-2 electronically rather than mail.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was just
well, have you gone yet? It's certainly very...
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Like a quick reminder, kind of, or a quick note.
Was that a notification?
Have been emails and stuff that have gone out through payroll.
Yeah.
But if you go on into Workday and you opt in to just having electronic ones, they won't mail one.
Do you have that email readily or handy?
Sure.
We could maybe send it out, and maybe might be a link we can include.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody also too wants to write something, you know, I don't know, some people really like to write in the message from the EA. I would prefer not always be like a chair's message. I think it would be a good opportunity for folks to. You know, hey, I'm Pilar, and from the vet school, and this is why I do the things in the EA, and here's what I'm passionate about, here's what I've been working on, just so that we can start to add that personality, which I think we're sort of shooting for. So
if you can rotate it.
Yeah, if anybody would like to volunteer for something, now's the time. Yeah. It's only as robust as we all make it, you know, and those that work on the newsletter are in definitely different parts of campus, but they're not in every part of campus. So it's really something that we as an EA have to fully commit to, being involved in sending information and sending those highlights along. So if there's anybody who would want to write a message, welcome, or, you know, a little spotlight, I think that'd be great.
How long does it usually take?
2 paragraphs, just something like, I mean, it can be really whatever you want. It could be a note from, you know, EA member blank.
And the office is happy to help, you know, with the, don't feel like, oh, I'm not a writer, you know. You tell the story and we can together craft it so that it comes out, you know, so everybody has a voice.
That's true, because I'm a terrible writer.
Anybody?
I'll do one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to do this one?
When is it due?
Soon?
Yesterday.
Tomorrow. By the end of the week. By the end of the week. Do you want to try it out?
Sure.
We can work on it together and get something, you know, set up.
Sure.
Awesome. All right, thanks for stepping up. Next week, someone else will be. What does BJ say? Voluntarios or victimas?
Victimas.
So, thank you for the voluntarios. Great. We'll move on to the new business. Elections. We want to talk about elections first.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. I know that there has been some dialogue about timing, and I think that's the biggest. I think there's several people on all sides of that conversation. So I think getting out sort of the options, which would be great. And I don't know if Gina or Amy can probably sort of highlight the two options best or a hopeful direction. But I just wanted to see if we could sort of solidify a rough draft of a calendar so next meeting we could solidify and vote that into existence.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts, and I'm not sure that I don't have a calendar for space, but certainly stand by the next meeting and have that very specific conversation.
Yeah.
It is the bylaws that by April 15th there'll be this organizational meeting, so things will have had to happen prior to that. If we change the election calendar to sort of coincide with all of the other assemblies on a regular sort of schedule, we would have to change the bylaws. I'm just pointing that out. You know, but we'll have that calendar. I was going to suggest perhaps meeting an elections committee that can meet.
There is. Curtis chairs it the years he's not running.
The ones that aren't running, in theory, default to be part
yeah.
of
it. So everybody whose seat's open for re-election is not eligible to serve, and everyone who is
not, right?
Yeah, midterm serves on that committee.
So perhaps if that has its own function, this may be an ad hoc committee that folks with a particular interest in the election. I don't have any historical perspective on it. I just have a very practical perspective. But if anybody has thought, you know, it would be meeting now pretty, you know, rigorously to, you know, really get input on things like the calendar, term limits, cleaning up some of the things in the bylaws that simply just are historic. They don't really have a place. And there's a need to do that for the health of the organization, but also towards the end of really who are we, what do we do? The governing documents, we should all know. You know, what do we do? Well, we can always go back to those. And they're very fuzzy. There just needs to be a lot of cleanup around the election. So it's not the actual process of this year's elections that I think Curtis and committee would normally do. I was thinking more of a structural. Let's look at this, get buy-in, come up with a proposal. We can certainly do that from the office. I'm just not sure that it's our prerogative to do that.
Sure.
I'm going to make sure that it's representative of what the body is.
So I think that, and I don't want to speak for Curtis, but I will volunteer him. He has shown, I definitely think, a strong interest in the election cycle and process. So I think that even though he likes to do the regular election committee type work, I think that this would maybe also tie in for him to be a strong leader on. And maybe it's a sort of a subcommittee of the elections committee, so that we don't have to over committee. But, you know, as they're meeting, you know, those that aren't going to stay for that portion can go, and those that want to talk about this can continue on with the meeting. So we can, I can email Curtis, or, you know, we can set up a time to sit down with Curtis and get some framework underway. But there has been talk about pushing the election cycle a little bit later, as opposed to earlier when we've historically had it, and condense the timeline.
What's the issue? February for 2 weeks?
We only did it one year, I think, in February for 2 weeks. Last year we didn't do it.
Last year we
did.
Right? So, I mean, I guess if folks don't have really strong opinions on it, we can come back with a calendar proposal for the next meeting, but I just wanted to provide the opportunity for folks to, if there's adamant, passionate. Just to pick and assign and...
Right. So we don't necessarily know at... We wouldn't necessarily know at that point, A, who the DA is, B, who the chair is, who is... All that kind of stuff. That's why they push it so much earlier. Right. I think it's terrible for sure that we do that early.
You can fix that. I just didn't know if there was strong sense from this body that you wanted to have it in January.
Never wanted it.
I don't think they do that.
Well, so the one thing is that if we can staff the UA with, you know, everybody minus the chair of the EA is not going to have an executive committee role
in the UA.
Well, there's also a practical sense of the UA having their organizational meeting in May makes no sense. Everybody's scrambling to staff something that's going to be dormant for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've been working with
the old executive body, right?
The standing or remaining executive body, as it were.
Right, because you can't have that executive body set up until you know who the members are.
Like the EA, even though the EA doesn't meet in the summer, we have a chair who's elected, so if there's some issue, we know who the chair is, and we can convene that. If the UA term begins in June, and they don't elect that body for the combat team for the responsible party to the old UA or the new UA.
Right.
So maybe the real question is, should the UA term start August something, which coincides with first semester?
Or should you have to be in the middle of your term on the EA to be on the UA?
Oh, yeah.
Or on the executive body or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some options, so that we can fit or refit, retool some of the process. But just wanted to have a quick discussion so that next meeting we can come back with sort of a few options, and take a look and see what works. I think we do have to be mindful of the Office of Assemblies and what, you know, their timing is, other assemblies, and what, you know, their needs are. But ultimately, we have to make sure that our needs and what's best for our constituents is being represented first and foremost. Awesome. So we'll have more on that. I think this is a nice natural break point to grab some food, unless. Great, because we have TCAT, the 82 bus, and then the new item, the mystery item. And I'm going to pause this for a second. What do I hit? The red? We're going to resume here after our little food break. So the TCAT, the 82 bus issue has come up. Sorry, Gina, if you just wanted to put something down a bite, but it's on. What? Are we talking about the same thing?
Or different? Very similar. They're similar routes. This is me when I was with my staff member as an activist, parks in the A-lot hat on, that I thought this is actually the body that I would bring something like this to. We had, I got this, the same email from whoever it was, sent it out right before Christmas, talking about the changes in the routes for the 81 and the 82. And it occurred to me that two things. One, that we had worked, this group in particular and the UA had worked very hard with Dave Howe and Ben Quill on the TCAT-related issues. And nobody, we have two staff members that could have at least informed somebody to let them know or to seek input. This task committee that Craig is on is meant to sort of be that, so that nobody's really surprised when things like this happen. Well, the 82 particularly, that it doesn't now stop at the B-lot, that impacts staff significantly.
Right. 82 is not stopping at B-lot. 81 is not stopping at A-lot anymore.
What?
81? I heard 81 is no longer servicing A-lot.
I thought you took it with us.
Oh,
you
said that. That's
main. That's the thing that it does.
A-lot's out there. Okay, never mind. I've got a lot of
stuff. You're talking about the C-lot or B-lot?
The B-lot, O-lot, whatever.
At the best school.
Yeah.
The B-lot, right. So, there's a big part of the B-lot now that is not accessible or convenient for staff members unless you happen to work across the street at the next school. So, the impact to the A-lot is that a lot of people now are parking in the A-lot, and it's crowded. And it's not a good, it's not really workable right now. And it came out of the blue. And so my concern was twofold. One is, there's a big part of the community here that's impacted that didn't have a voice in it. And we've asked to have a voice. And, why wasn't anybody notified of this in advance? I was talking to several high-level administrators who, read about the same, got the same email, the DVD that came out saying that these changes had been implemented, and we were looking around the table going, well, who knew? Nobody knew. Well, we worked very, very hard to create these connections so that, again, there's buy-in, even if there's going to be reaction, we know that it's going to happen. The staff was impacted significantly by this particular change, and I was going to, write a letter, and I thought, this is probably a body that if there's an interest in it, I'd be happy to sort of participate in that. But I didn't want to, every time I got this, sort of I have a dual hat situation going on here. But I do feel like it's a concern for the staff and for the employee assembly. If the assembly was not somehow involved with it and could have been.
So I have a question. I'm confused about what the change is because of the 180 discussion. I'm not sure what exactly the change is. And then what you said about the B-lot being acceptable, then it's the cheapest paid parking. So if you have a higher parking tier where you pay more to park, you should be able to park there, if I understand. So I wanted to clarify what you mean.
Yeah.
By.
So the 82, which
okay.
I got the changes right
now. Go ahead,
read it for yourself.
Thank you.
Bye.
Scott,
this is
the first time here.
All right. TCAT's winter spring service will be in effect from January 11th through May 16th, which will change the changes from group to system-wide efficiency. Across the board, TCAS Service Development and Operations Department is focused on adjusting times on all routes in response to increased congestion, ongoing construction projects, increased passenger volume. Changes have been made to address problems with late buses and disruption will positively impact all overall service. Major changes include those to Route 1114 and the Cornell campus shuttles, Routes 81, 82, and 83. Cornell Transportation Service staff is providing more detailed information to the Cornell community regarding the campus shuttles via various internal and external outlets. But overall, the changes on this email show that Route 81, due to a steady decline in ridership from VLOC, route is changing to peak demand morning and afternoon shuttles serving VLOC, Central Campus, and the Veterinary Research Tower stop on Tower Road. It will no longer serve VLOC.
Right.
Route 82 will become primarily all-day campus shuttles. It will run every 10 minutes at 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays. Route 82 will serve Hasbrook Apartments and AWA on North Campus, Central Campus, and Veterinary College stop on Tower Road. The CISDR building comes to service from the Maplewood Apartments, the East Hill Office Building, and East Hill Closet. Rush hour demand, AM and PM service, 5 trips each to the Veterinary Medical Center, VLOC stop adjacent to VLOC.
Right.
So you can currently park in VLOC and catch the Route 81 bus to their work location. You can park closer to the Route 82. Employee permits valid in VLOC are also valid in VCI,
mm-hmm.
Research Barn Block, located at the corner mm-hmm. of campus and Charlie mm-hmm. Road, as well as South Morrison Lock. Corner
yeah.
of campus and Jeff Palmer's Road, which is a block from the south to the dairy bar.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Well,
and I was talking to somebody at the bus stop the other day that rides to 81, and she was saying it's not posted online yet what the new schedule will look like, but if you can pick up one of those books that are on the bus, it shows from what she was saying that it's just going to be a loop.
Right.
It's going up to Stocking and or going up to DCI, going down, but instead of going left towards the vet school, it's going to go right, and it's just going to keep looping.
Right.
So it's going to completely bypass the B lot.
Correct.
Right, but it's still a corner that's very close to B lot.
Right.
But it won't stop at that.
But it never really entered in fully to the B lot. When you think of B lot going
out.
The 82. No, what is happening now is that 81 used to go into the
right.
B lot. No, the stop inside B lot. And
yeah,
it's not doing that anymore.
That exactly, but it's still at least that one's going in, and 82 is just staying closer to the BTI.
Right.
So, and the fact that people weren't aware that the O lot, in a sense, the BTI one,
right.
the one that's by the BTI, the one that's behind even by the dairy bar in BTI, are open to B parking lot holders.
It's the same price.
So that's the price, and they can park closer to the stops that are there to them. The problem was that every mass individual thought the B lot was only that B physical B lot, and now the restriction of the minimal angle in the sense of the turns of the parking lot of the parking of the bus will affect. Yeah, if you were parking out in the middle of nowhere, you're going to have to shift where you park into, but it's still there.
We
work there.
I work right there.
Where the stops are going to be adjusted. I mean, has anybody seen where there's going to be new stops?
Right, that's what we haven't seen. I haven't seen it.
So somewhere there you read that there will be communications for the transportation?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't either.
So
that's what I haven't seen,
huh? So that one out in December, right for the break, that talked about the change, saying basically that 81 is becoming a peak demand morning afternoon shuttle serving Haylock campus and the Vet Research Tower stop on Tower Road. And then 82 will become the primary campus shuttle, providing peak demand morning and afternoon service to Vet Medical Center, VLOC stop on campus, and the VLOC stop on campus road. And that will run on a 3-10-minute schedule. And then it says, but you should be able to see this on the TCAT website.
Yeah, so
we're
making changes, we'll tell you about them in January.
Mm-hmm. But that's too late because we've already taken effect, right?
Well,
in 5 days.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Okay.
It's very unclear. Mm-hmm. Nobody was consulted.
Right. No, right.
In fact, on, the B lot is the lowest paid lot.
Correct.
But for staff, the A lot and the B lot serve a lot of the lower level staff tiers that, if we can't understand this, how is this good for staff?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the.
So I've also heard several staff have been grumbling about the fact that Spirit Cornell paid TCAP all this money, and now
right.
they're no longer servicing that lot. So a lot of staff are very upset about that.
Just to clarify, on like the.
Servicing it is not what they want.
No.
They're not going to
the B-Lab.
They're
not
going
into B-Lab.
That's where they pick up.
Right.
So you'll still be able to get a spot, and you'll still be able to be in that general vicinity, but it is going to shift from the norm, and they haven't informed
us. I mean, that's where I usually park whenever I drive in, and that lot is always packed. There is, like, no free parking spots in that lot.
Is that the one by the Animal Pavilion?
Yeah.
That one right there on the left?
By the live vet, or by the live Animal Pavilion.
Yeah, right across the street from there, right?
Yeah,
by the dairy bar behind that one?
Yeah.
Diagonal from the dairy
bar.
Yeah, that's always full.
You have to get there before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, when I drive by at 9 o'clock when I come into work, it's always full.
But there's people that are always parking down O lot or B lot now,
mm-hmm.
that if you want to take the bus, you've got to shift your parking to those lots.
Right.
I don't know where you're going to find parking in those lots.
So how shall we address this?
So the B-Lot extension, though, is overflowing. They're always spotted there.
Never.
So not the one right behind BTI, but right across Campus Road, there's another, like, B-Lot, A-Lot, but a B-Lot extension, or as they call it, and there's always spots there.
So
but people have to be informed. They have to know that. They have to figure out, how am I going to get to work, my office from this lot? You know, they need time for that, I think.
So I guess my question would be, do we know how many employees it affects?
Yeah.
Who actually park in B lot and take the bus somewhere?
They have to, because they said that they
can. So here's the
thing.
They look at ridership, but every time we've asked for specific ridership information, it's never really that clear. Mm-hmm. So how they're able to pinpoint it that much?
I mean, I guess my question would be, if I get on at that B lot stop, how do they know that I park there and ride somewhere else to work, or
right.
if I just had a meeting there and I'm coming to office or whatever?
Yeah, how can they know that?
They don't know that information. So I think that's one question that we need to get answered.
Unless they can, when you put in your card, your ID card, do they
know
this?
No, they cannot.
Every single morning at this time,
no.
But your work's over
like,
here.
It's
no.
not that sophisticated.
No. I mean, there's nothing more than.
It would take some lot of data mining to extrapolate if you were really even who you were.
Because the reason why I'm asking this is because we're talking specifically about concern addressing B-Lot people and the fact that they have to walk. I would counter that with saying this, for the people who ride the 82 from East Hill, this is a very positive change going from a 15-minute run to a 10-minute run.
Right.
For those of us who have to come back and forth to campus, and now there's 500-some-odd employees who are working out there, and this is a very positive change.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that we're looking at all the good and the bad and make sure that we know how many people we're talking about before we...
But then we can do that with clear information.
Right.
So with the clear route, the clear route, you know.
So, go ahead for a second.
Well, I think the clarity is going to definitely need to be addressed. But what I'm wondering is that, people park in the B-Lot, they're paying to park there, but they would work in Central Campus. Why would I pay to park when I can park in A-Lot for free and go to Central Campus?
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like when that bus goes all the way down to the end of the
if you're on that side of town.
I can answer that. Because when I live on this side of town, out by the mall, I park in A-Lot. But then when I moved over to Barna, I changed my parking to B-Lot because it's closer to this side of town, and you don't want to have to deal with that hill.
Right. Oh, in the winter, yeah.
It's
a nasty hill.
And traffic and all of that. So that's why a lot of people come from this side of town or from Binghamton or Endicott or things like that, all park out that way.
So I think one of the so for me personally, the issue necessarily isn't where the stop is, how the stop has been changed, what their operational changes are, because I think they have the right to make operational changes. I think the issue is it was poorly communicated. There was no consultation or like, hey, I want to give you guys, the body that represents the 9,000 plus employees, a heads up, because this is the biggest constituent group that this will affect. That is personally my issue.
It's the only constituent group. I mean, that bus, even in the DVD, it says this is a Cornell route. Who was consulted at Cornell?
Right.
It doesn't seem like anybody.
Is that the same group that also changed the parking at the beginning of the year? Like, is that all roped into one thing? Because I remember that was a big deal, too. I know when they closed out lots and just moved everybody, didn't tell anybody, and they changed on the handicap.
So,
it just seems like it might be a recurring issue with a particular.
I think this is a good opportunity for us to reach out to our new director of transportation services. Invite her to an EA meeting to let her know that the employee group is very passionate about parking and transportation in general. Express our sort of dissent with the lack of communications around, you know, major sweeping changes not being in, you know, effect. You know, and if we want to take it so far as to write a resolution expressing our sort of dissent with how the change was handled, that's well within our rights. I would encourage someone to step up to volunteer to do that if they'd like to, because resolutions don't write themselves. As much as I would love it if they did, we do need to get something in there that says, you know, the employees need to be not told what to do. We need to be consulted first. We need to be part of the process and the decision-making process. And we're willing to support whatever decisions may be made as long as those process steps are in place. Because some things are going to change that, you know, there's 50 people, there's 100 people that are going to be slightly inconvenienced with their free bus pass to move around campus. Like, that's one issue. But, you know, it also may be beneficial for 500. So we have to be able to weigh where's the benefit going to lie. There's a lot of hands now.
My question is, I think the communication aspect is true, but I think the core complaint is the B-Lot parker. There was a park that was over there. Because look at the situation where B-Lot is where people pay to park and they're complaining about going to the free parking. So obviously there was a need, and they said, you know what, I'm going to pay to do it. And as Gina said, it impacts staff, because during the day, students don't really go to the B-Lot.
Yeah.
And obviously, this is that directly affecting staff members. So I think even as we think about the resolution, to make sure that we're expressing that some people want more information and a justification as to why B-Lot is closed or is not serviced anymore.
That would be great, yeah. And somebody who's better versed in that stop, that area, I mean, I would encourage them to get involved in that, because for folks on the outside who don't utilize that part of the system, it's just, it's totally a foreign place. You know, I mean, I can tell you all day about the, you know, the ones here in the central part of campus, but I don't know the periphery that well. So.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, and I'm actually glad that Linda dropped the F word in here for other S word students to look at that. I lived for 5 years. Four on campus and then lasting for the high school. And I depend on the bus stop in MAE1. A stop at just the field. And I was the primary reason. Well, first of all, in the morning, in the fall, I can see why ridership is significantly low, because it is very nice outside. So a lot of students, regardless of the fact that they have a free bus pass for the freshman school primarily, I can see why they are riding it at that point. But now that it's cold, the elements of freshman in the winter is always bad. It's packed with people. So that, get on first. oftentimes. So when you have an 8 a.m. class, the bus is always full coming from the A lot. It doesn't stop at the townhouses, it's over for anybody else after that.
Yeah.
You see people running, they try to the least buses, and it doesn't work. So I would encourage some sort of coalition building or collaboration with students, with undergraduate and graduate, because that's also like that's a huge, really huge impact. And that's not gonna be like cut through a field of from A lot.
Yeah.
For the A lot from the
I know there's a few buses that come from the outside, and as they pick up closer and closer to, I think it's the 32, the one that comes back in through that I ride, and by one time it gets to like just in Cuga Heights, you're like waving at people, you know, because it's so full.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they have an eight, they have two buses I think at 8 o'clock, but most of the time the one right behind is empty. So if they would have put that bus at 9 o'clock when everybody's coming, it's a totally different game. So I think they've looked at some of these issues, but I don't think they necessarily look at all of them. Or their drivers just aren't communicating back the information or what it is.
Our resolution is that Cornell lobby for an employee seat or a UA member seat on that committee. Because we've asked for communication before, but we're willing to face. And I think the only way we're going to get it is to have it
involved
at the table where we know from the beginning, and then at that point.
So not even a transportation, an actual TCAP.
Yeah.
Wrap.
TCAP. Because
TCAP
when it gets filtered up here, you know, halfway through the process. Or all the way through.
It's done.
You know, I don't know how much weight Cornell has on that, but I know we have representatives on the board.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
I would suggest that that's where we start, actually, is we know we have Dave Howe and Kelly Page on the board at TCAT, and Hugh is the chair of the board there. That
so, yeah.
We have people that should be
voicing,
you know, bringing this back to the community here, and that's not happening.
So is our ask that they report any considered route changes to the assembly, whether it's the UA, the EA, whoever it is. They
while they're still being considered.
While they are on the position.
Well, we're going to need to represent
them. But I think someone needs to be at the table.
Well, I think so.
Right, but if they are
Are you anyone from our transportation office on that committee, on the TCAT committee? Like anyone who works in transportation?
I don't know. So I think this is something that we're going to have to do a little bit of digging in, and maybe on the 21st we can resurrect or come to some conclusion on. But I think that this has been a good discussion. If there's anybody interested in, you know, crafting some language that we can piece into a resolution, you know, you don't have to necessarily write the whole thing because that's sometimes daunting. But if there's somebody wants to talk about the 81 or 82 issue language, if somebody wants to step up to the plate for that, we'd appreciate it.
I'd be happy to, but I would rather not author. But I'd be happy to partner with somebody. I think they'll do the legwork and write it all up and then partner with somebody who.
Gina's great, so it'll be a good combo.
Hair made in heaven.
We have the transportation.
Board IDC, right? Since you read the whole part where it's wonderful and involved with everybody.
Well, and the other change, though, the transportation thing was for the Omni riders.
Oh, yeah.
They made that change. They sent out an email on the 1st of January that any old permits will no longer be allowed and that you have to order new permits and that your permits can be used between January and May through something and something through December and that you have to use, you can only request 10 permits between each period and that it has to be used between that time, but your old permits are no longer valid.
Which before you could keep your permits and be through the year.
Yeah.
I know.
So now, like anybody that had to drive into work this week,
yes,
you have no permit to use because you have to fill out the online form and then wait for them available to you. You're not supposed to park on campus.
Yeah, that was a problem as well.
They didn't do that before.
But
just don't take the office.
All right, so.
He works for transportation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. All right, so I'm going to reach out to the maybe the director of transportation and send her an invite to come to an EA meeting soon. And then we'll sort of go from there, work on a resolution in response to this issue. I think we can also communicate our sort of resolution language thoughts to the SA leadership. And see if they wanted to jump in on the conversation
and,
as well.
And GPSA.
And GPSA. The other S constituent. student.
I know.
Graduate or undergraduate.
GPSA constituents are in plant breeding. I can reach out to them and see if that would be something they might want to start.
I know we've been having that issue with the community initiatives that students have been complaining about parking and also parking. And so they already have conversations around parking. They already linked to transportation about it. So probably just add that on.
Does anybody have any final thoughts before we adjourn?
I have one other thing.
Oh, you do? Okay, sorry, that's right.
Yesterday, I don't know if those of you that know or not, but the plant science departments within Cal have all been formed into a new school of integrative plant science. So yesterday we had a staff retreat, and I heard from a lot of the staff that were at this retreat, and I've also heard from other people within the community that a lot of staff are feeling very concerned about all of the changes that are being made in upper administration, and are feeling a lot of tension about that, as well as concerns about layoffs with all the problems with the budget lately, and there just seems to be a lot of concern about that. So I'm thinking that that might be something that we may want to look at.
How would it be best to look at that? It's something I'm not familiar with.
Maybe getting Cal's? We haven't had a Cal's
visitor. Remember how we discussed the deeds? Or
yes, Linda, we know you're there. Sorry.
I tried to cover before I called.
Should we? I mean, it's something maybe too we can bring up with Mary first at a Mary meeting, and then see if, you know, because if there's talk of layoffs and, you know, those sorts of concerns, I mean, we can address it in our next sort of one-on-one with her, or when she visits with us, or we can formulate an email and send that over to her in advance, too.
I mean, some of the background, as well as CALS in itself, so CALS, not even just the plant, the science of plant science is being integrated, but CALS in itself, as far as its HR head and some of its finances, have a very specific point of view towards the new budget model and have applied specific policy to address that. That even includes fees being applied to certain sponsorships and appointments and classifications. So all of that really is how Cal's leadership is sort of addressing these financial concerns. So that would be perhaps a good thing to address Offerman and then have a dialogue with Cal's at a bigger picture. And you know what I mean?
I think it needs to be both.
Okay. Gina?
Bridget, is it a lot of the, do you think that the conversation was CAL-centric, or is it really just that with so many of the upper-level administrative changes that are happening?
It was administrative changes and that people are hearing talks about with the provost budget and how far in the deficit that is, that there may be layoffs and different things like that. But there seems to be a lot of tension and concern, and staff were saying, well, I'm worried about my job, and what am I supposed to do to make sure I have my job? And
it might be worth, this is actually, I think, a very big and good question, because there's the upper administration, you know, with the president leaving, the provost is left, Susan Murphy's office is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Halliday.
A lot of folks, and the trickle down is, you know, we're getting our work done. But the senior administrators under those folks
they don't know the answers to the question, and that does trickle down.
Yeah.
But maybe asking Mary to come to a meeting and address this, because or read out a statement or be have a hotline or something, because it is that sort of tension really creates a bad work situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just we don't know, and change is difficult, and the unknown. We don't know what the new president is going to do. We don't know what the new provost is going to do.
Right.
We don't know what the new
provost is going to be.
And even if they don't know the answers, let us know that they don't know the answers.
Right, and that we're all going to get through this together.
But maybe it eases people's minds. I mean, maybe there isn't thought about layoffs, but maybe people are hearing those grumblings. But maybe if Mary were just to send out some type of communication.
Welcome back. There's a lot of change going on.
You don't need to worry about.
I don't know what's going on, but I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah, I can communicate something with Mary.
Yeah.
Sure.
That would go a long way.
Okay.
You read some of the other more flamboyant youth carriers out there. Higher education's dead, and because of the student loan situation, the bubble's going to burst, like the housing bubble did, and a lot of schools are going to belly up.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But I have to think right now, I don't know, I really don't know if those questions can be. Yeah, I don't think more people might start jumping ship. More people might start. I don't think we have, that's not good. I don't know if you know how many more higher ups are actually going to send their position or are actually searching for opportunities now when the current cabinet is being expected.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Mary's been, you know, very honest with us about this from the beginning, that there is a lot of uncertainty, that this is the new normal for the economic climate of higher education. There's a lot of financial challenges. You know, we're not going back to the old way of doing things. We need to be more creative, more innovative, more willing to change.
To everybody. I think that is important for her to do.
But there's a caution there. I've been hearing from a lot of people that they feel that there is a new Cornell and they don't like it. They do not like the fact that they feel that the students are not the priority that the citizens and the support of.
We know
both sides of the story, but a lot of employees are getting that.
And I don't want to necessarily speak for the higher-ups because that's not my role, that's not my place. I can just tell you the sense I've gotten from some of that conversation, you know, just like, you know, Bridget, you've had those conversations as well, and Tanya, I mean, we've had those conversations for years. Some of their response at some point is then, that might not be the Cornell for you.
Right.
And that's a healthy conversation, because if it's going in a direction and you don't want to go there, it's sometimes better to say, I need to go somewhere else, than to try to fight the go-along.
Right, but I think the impression I'm getting, though, is that people are really feeling that they just can't do their jobs justice as they have been able to do in the past, and that they just don't... They're concerned about Cornell's overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
These aren't people who are just like bragging about having more work to do. They're really concerned about the product. They're concerned about that.
Yeah, and that's an issue that we need to find ways to support those people, right, that that have a concern for, we want to make sure that Cornell is the best possible institution for higher learning around. Those are the people that that we need to find ways to communicate to and support. But there are some people who, Cornell might not be the place
for
you.
The product itself is changing. Higher education itself has a difference.
So nice.
But that's the thing. Yeah. The product is changing, is mutating. Programs, you know, departments are being changed.
And we're out of time, based on time, and I hate saying that because I like to spend the time with you all. But we are going to lose quorum here, so by time we're going to adjourn.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.